in our confession. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray, please. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With those promises in mind, let us confess our sins first in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we acknowledge with sin, ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given us his Son to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your Receive our prayer, for you
Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its name, we thank you for the gift of fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. Grant that all earthly families may reflect your love and faithfulness. Above all, keep us firmly united to your Son, Jesus Christ, that through faith we may know ourselves to be your beloved children and gladly serve one another as members of your household. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whomever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so since preaching is always a good time for me to try out the new words and sayings that I learn here in Texas, let's try this one. Now here is a pickle, right? Which means a problem. Now, I don't know exactly because I find pickles quite delicious and not very problematic, but if that's what you say, we have a pickle. It is Father's Day. And of course, that means that I want to preach about fathers. It's a good topic for church where we worship God the Father. However, the problem is, as I heard, is that many people on Father's Day take off for like the cabin and the lake and fishing and... So I was a little worried that I wouldn't have many fathers to preach to, but I'm happy to see a lot of fathers around here, so that should work. We have the right audience for this sermon. And then there's always another challenge. On Father's Day or on Mother's Day, we celebrate fathers and mothers, and that makes many, many people happy, but there are always those who are hurting on these days. Some wanted to be parents, never had the opportunity. Others carry painful memories because the experience with their own parents was not something to celebrate. I myself come from a broken family, and I've had my own struggles coming to terms with the father figures in my life. And that was also one of the main barriers to overcome on my faith journey. Because my association with the word father were complicated. And so calling God Father, it's not necessarily something comforting or a positive idea for me. And so there's a lot of law in that word. And maybe some of you understand that and know exactly what I mean. And so the pickle continues, also in our gospel for today. Because there's this wonderful and interesting text about complicated family situations that should lend itself very well to a great sermon, you know? I mean, Jesus facing off his family, having to make a decision, they're not happy with him, that is complicated. And then there's another problem if you want to hold a Father's Day sermon, because it's about mothers and brothers and sisters. But the father is strangely absent in this story about Jesus' teaching on family. Or is he? Let's look at Joseph. Joseph is Jesus' earthly father, Mary's husband. And he's not mentioned at all. He's actually not mentioned at all anymore as soon as Jesus starts his ministry. And we know remarkably little about Joseph after Jesus' childhood. The last time we see him in Scripture is when 12-year-old Jesus remains behind in the temple in Jerusalem. And after that, Joseph simply disappears from the biblical record. But what we do know about him tells us a great deal. Joseph receives Mary as his wife when others would have certainly abandoned her. No, she's pregnant, not with his child. Joseph protects mother and child when Herod seeks to kill the infant Jesus. Joseph takes his family into Egypt, away from that danger, and he brings them home again when it is time, when it is safe. He settles them in Nazareth, and Joseph teaches Jesus his trade, the family trade. They're both craftsmen. So Joseph does what a good father does. He provides, he protects, and he remains faithful. And one of the most striking things, Joseph does all these fatherly things without speaking a single recorded word in Scripture. This is quite a legacy for a father. Fathers today often struggle, not because they don't get to talk much. It's because they think fatherhood is primarily about performance. It's about being successful, being a good example, being respected by your children, being strong enough, providing enough, achieving enough, getting your children to achieve all these things. A lot of have-to-dos, a lot of law. But the biblical fatherhood begins somewhere else. Actually begins with receiving something. Joseph first receives his fatherly identity from God himself, who tells him about Jesus and about Mary and convinces him to stay. He's told what to do, where to go, whom to marry, when to flee, when to return. Again and again, Joseph simply trusts and obeys. So before Joseph can actually be a father, he obviously must first be a dutiful son. And that points us to something more important in our gospel reading today. Because at first glance, it may seem odd to us that Joseph is nowhere to be found. But then we have to think about, we're dealing with Mark here, right? We all are now expert on Mark because we read our guides and we've had our sermons and we went to Sunday school, so we know a lot about Mark already. And we know Mark is an excellent communicator. In fact, his job, which first got him into the company of the apostles as they did their missionary work, was to translate for them and to transcribe their words and to keep records. So he knows what he's doing. He's a good author. And the missing information about Joseph is not just a random lack of information. Mark wants us to notice something. He creates this deliberate question. Where is the father? And like the master author that Mark is, he leads us right to the answer through the entire life and teaching of Jesus Christ himself. His entire book is the answer. Because the answer is that Jesus has been speaking about his father all along. Throughout his ministry, Jesus continually directs our attention beyond every earthly relationship to the heavenly Father who sent him. So when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, a voice comes down from heaven. This is my beloved Son. There's the Father. At the Transfiguration, the Father speaks again. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And in John's Gospel, Jesus repeatedly says things like, the Father has sent me. I and the Father are one. I do nothing on my own authority. So the family is not incomplete because Joseph is missing. The family is complete because the true Father is being revealed throughout the entire Gospel of Mark. Joseph's task was never to replace God as the Father. His task was to reflect the Father. And that is true of every father. The best fathers are not those who draw attention to themselves. They don't make it about themselves. The best fathers are those who point beyond themselves, like Joseph. Every earthly father is meant to be a living signpost that says, If you think I love you, wait until you see how your heavenly Father loves you. If you think I provide for you, wait until you see how your heavenly Father has provided for you. If you think I forgive you, wait until you see the mercy of your heavenly Father forgiving your every sin. And that is why fatherhood matters so much. A father is never the source of all this. He's the reflection of his maker. He's not the sun in the sky. He's the moon reflecting the greater light. And ultimately, that is what Jesus reveals today in the gospel. When someone tells him, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you, Jesus just looks around at those gathered in faith and says, who are my mother and my brothers? And then he answers, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And now you could say, wait, what? Is Jesus denying his earthly family? Do I have to do the same? Well, this is actually a verse that many people have a problem with. You know, especially us faithful Christians. We struggle with this because we value our family. We cherish the command to honor mother and father. We uphold the biblical understanding of marriage and family. We rightly see the family as one of God's greatest gifts to us. So we have to be very, very careful with this verse. But notice what Jesus is doing when he says all these things. He's actually not rejecting his family. He's not saying, don't let them in, I don't want anything to do with them. It's not negative. We have to think positive. He's not rejecting, he's expanding. Because through him, we are brought into his relationship with God the Father. Through faith, the Father who eternally loves his Son now calls us his children as well. St. Paul writes in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son so that we might receive adoption as sons. And in Romans 8, because we are sons and daughters of God, we may now cry out with confidence, Abba, Father. And that is an important truth that all of us Christians need to internalize, because it means that every Christian here today has a place and a role in our family. Look around you. These are your brothers and your sisters and your mothers and your fathers. Whether you are a father or not, here are plenty of children and adults that need role models. Whether your father was wonderful or absent, your Father in heaven was always there. And you can be present, like him, in other people's lives. Reflect that light. Whether your children live nearby or far away, the Father's love reaches across every distance, and he does not stop caring for his children. And neither should we. So whether Father's Day brings you joy or pain, your Father in heaven is with you to comfort you. And he sends you your brothers and sisters in this room today, who are your family, to share in your joy or in your pain. Sisters and brothers, in Christ, you have direct access to the Father who chose you, redeemed you, provided for you, disciplines you sometimes, forgives you, and then promises never, ever to abandon you. And perhaps that is where we finally see the deepest connection between Joseph and the Father whom Jesus has revealed to us. Joseph's entire life points away from himself and towards Christ. Why did he take Mary as his wife when others would have abandoned her? Why did he flee to Egypt in the middle of the night? Why did he uproot his family again and again? Because God had entrusted Jesus in his care. Not his physical child, but he made him part of his family. Joseph's fatherhood existed for that one purpose, that the Son of God might safely grow and accomplish the mission for which he had come. Joseph protected Jesus so that Jesus could go to the cross. Joseph provided for Jesus so that Jesus could provide salvation for the world, for you. Joseph raised Jesus as a son so that Jesus could make sinners into sons and daughters of God. The child he carried in his arms would one day carry him. The son he protected would one day become his savior. And that is not only true for Joseph, but for all of us. The eternal Son of God entered a human family so that he might bring us into God's family, which is gathered here today. He took upon himself our sins, our failures, our broken families, our rebellion against God, and he carried them to the cross. Again, Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Notice the order. First, God sends his Son, and then, so that we may receive adoption, then we become sons and daughters ourselves. Jesus is not merely showing us the Father. He's bringing us to the Father. And that is why today's gospel is such wonderful good news. Through faith in Christ, we are welcomed into a family, gathered not by blood, but by grace, united not by ancestry, but by faith. And because of Jesus Christ, the Son, you have a place in that family. You are not a guest. You're not merely tolerated. You are a beloved child of God, the good Father. And that is the greatest Father's Day gift of all. Through Christ, we have been brought home to the Father. Amen. Amen. Let us sing our next song.
In just a few moments, we're going to be praying that offering prayer. And we're reminded of the one who provides to us. And as we do pray in just a moment, notice that we start with those words, Merciful Father. So let's pray together. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join together in proclaiming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of salvation, for your kindness to us. We know that the sun and the moon and the stars even praise you, and we ask that you would lift our hearts to you, that we may also praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, apart from you, we are lost and alone. And we thank you for calling us into your family through faith in Jesus Christ, adopting us as your sons and daughters, and for gathering us into your church on earth. Strengthen us in faith, unite us in love, and help us to care for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of fathers and for calling them to reflect your love, grace, and faithful guidance in this world. Bless all fathers in their vocation. Give them wisdom, patience, courage, and steadfast love. And Lord God, for those who have been hurt by earthly fathers, we pray for healing. We pray that your grace would cover them and that they would come to a place of forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, the lives of your children are in your hands, and you alone are the source of healing, strength, and hope. We ask your blessing on all who are sick and hospitalized, those who are homebound, grieving, or in any need, especially Ray Hildebrand, Harvey Hengst, Lauren House, Davis Lochte, and Jim Page. And Lord God, we ask that you would be with all of those who are homebound, those who are in care facilities, including Lillian Feller, Sandra Nevins, Charlie Rickerhauser, Curry Klarner, Dorothy Briley, and Carol Klaus. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and for all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, children of God, as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our concluding song.
Praise to you.